أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإفك والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم.
In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us the whole process of li'an, mula'ana. When a husband accuses his wife of committing zina and he does not have four witnesses to establish this accusation, and the wife, she rejects this and she wishes to defend herself, then we spoke of how the two of them, they go before the Qadi, the Muslim judge, and he then compels the two of them to undertake this process of li'an. The next ayah are referring to an episode, incident that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident relates to the accusation, the slander that was leveled against our pure beloved mother and the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now it's very important for us to understand the background of this incident. The incident is known as Hadith al-Isq, and we find that in our hadith books, the incident is explained in great detail. And this hadith, it earns its title. Hadith, it means the episode of the slander, or the incident of the accusation. It draws its name from this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْنَبِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِثْمِ. It is the worst type of slander, and the worst type of accusation that one can ever make against another person. So Allah says, indeed those who have brought forward this slander, those who have brought forward this accusation against you, the accused was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah says, those who came up and who fabricated the slander, usbatun minkum, they are a gang from amongst you, referring to who? The munafiqun, the hypocrites. Now, unfortunately, the hypocrites, they were at the forefront of this. But some innocent Muslims, eminent Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, also got involved in the slander, and they also spoke of the accusation and began spreading this slanderous accusation against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the community. In the sixth year of Hijrah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he embarked on an expedition far outside of Medina al-Munawwara, known as the expedition of Bani al-Mustalik. It was the sixth year of Hijrah, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, with other beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the expedition. When the expedition came to an end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the army, they began traveling and returning to Medina to Munawwara. At nightfall, they reached a certain point and they decided to camp there for the night. And they spent the night there. Before the night could end, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced that we will shortly be departing from this camp of ours and we will continue proceeding towards Medina to Munawwara. When this announcement was made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expected the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in to all start preparing and getting ready for departure. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she felt the need to answer the call of nature. So she went out to do so. And we know that in those days, they would go far, especially the women folk, they would go as far as possible from the campsite or from the location in order to relieve themselves. As she went, and after relieving herself, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had a very precious necklace. She realized that the necklace is gone. So it means that the string broke and the necklace fell either while going to that point or perhaps while returning. It was still dark, it was still night. The night had not yet ended. So she got involved in searching and looking for that necklace. As a result of that, she was delayed. The hodaj, those days, the women folk would sit in a carriage known as the hodaj, and the men folk would then lift up the hodaj, the carriage, which was covered because hijab already, the laws of hijab were revealed by them, by the sixth year of hijrah. That hodaj would be lifted and placed on the camel, and they would then guide the camel and drive the camel while the women folk were seated in the hodaj, in the carriage. The men folk, they came to the hodaj and the carriage of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, thinking that she was in the hodaj. So they lifted the hodaj, the carriage, they placed it on the animal, and the entire army proceeded and they left. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, by the time she returned, she realized what had happened. They left her behind. And she was all alone, a young girl. She was all alone, but Allah ta'ala blessed her with wisdom, Allah ta'ala blessed her with intelligence. She knew that the best thing for her to do was to remain exactly where she was. Not to run about helter-skelter, she might get lost. And Rasul, so she was confident that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will send a search party for her. So the best thing for her was to remain right there at the campsite. So she decided to sit down over there. She covered herself. And because it was still dark, and the sun did not yet rise, and morning did not yet set in, she fell off to sleep. In the meantime, it was customary, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always ask a certain sahabi of his or a group of sahaba to travel behind the army so that they can pick up anything. If anything was forgotten or anything was left behind, it was that sahabi's duty to ensure that whatever was left behind, whatever was dropped by the army could be retrieved, and he would carry it along with himself. But on this occasion, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was moving behind the army. So the time he reached this campsite where they camped for that night, he saw this young girl sleeping over there and her face was exposed. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that before hijab came down, Safwan did see me. So Safwan knew who I was. Safwan knew what I looked like. And as soon as he saw her asleep, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." He realized what had happened. She said, "When I heard this, I woke up, I realized there was a strange man there, I covered my face." Safwan radiallahu ta'ala brought his camel, brought his ride, he allowed it to kneel down. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala got onto the camel, and like this Safwan traveled with her behind the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, "Wallah, throughout the way, he never uttered a single word to me. But he remained silent, and he guided the animal until we reached the Muslim army. In the meantime, the munafiqeen, the hypocrite, and the chief of the hypocrites, known as Abdullah ibn Ubayy as-Salul, he was the number one enemy, and he was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fiercest opponent in Madinatul Munawwarah, Abdullah ibn Ubayy as-Salul. He looked for every opportunity to try and defame the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to call grief to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard of it. He got some information of what had happened, and immediately he started spreading this rumor and this accusation that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had committed the crime and the grave sin of zina. And this is what she accused Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha of, and this great sahabi, Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nevertheless, this slander and this accusation, this rumor now started spreading within the camp of the munafiqeen. And naturally, there were some Muslims who were naive, who were innocent. They heard of this as well, and they started speaking of it, and they started spreading it as well in the community. When the information came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very, very, very much distressed. You can imagine the Nabi of Allah azza wa jal, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very grieved and saddened by this accusation, and the revelation was not coming down from Allah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala knew absolutely nothing of what was happening and what was being said about her. She was an innocent young girl. But she said, when we arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, I fell a bit sick, I became a bit ill, and I realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attitude changed towards me somewhat. The attitude was not as it was before. He would come and just ask me about my health and ask me about my condition, and he would leave. That was it. And she said, I suspected something. And because of his attitude, my illness only increased, and I became a bit sad and depressed. She was not aware of what was happening in the city, in Madinat Munawwara. And Rasulullah chose not to tell her and not to inform her. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the meantime, he was doing some investigation and he was consulting with certain sahaba, great sahaba, among them Ali radiallahu ta'ala and other eminent sahaba, as to how to deal with this matter and how to contain this accusation against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, how she came to know about it was she needed to go out of Madinah Munawwar to relieve herself, and they would go far out of the city. Along with her was the mother of Mistah. Now Mistah radiallahu ta'ala was a great sahabi. He took part in the battle of Badr as well. But he also got involved in this accusation. And he in fact also started spreading his rumor about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Mistah radiallahu ta'ala. And here Aisha and the mother of Mistah are going out to relieve themselves, to answer the call of nature. While coming back, the mother of Mistah, something happened, she got tangled into her sheet and she tripped and she fell down. As she fell down, she said, Ta'isa Mistah, may Mistah be cursed. Out of her frustration, she thought of her son Mistah, and she knew what Mistah was saying about Aisha, and she cursed him in the frustration of her. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was surprised, she heard this and she said, you are cursing your son Mistah? He is a Badri, he is a Sahabi that took place in the Battle of Badr. Such an eminent, such a great Sahabi. Why are you cursing him? She says, oh Aisha, you have absolutely no idea of what my son Mistah has said about you. This is the accusation that is spreading and the rumor that is spreading in Madinatul Munawwara about you, and my son Mistah is also involved in the spreading of this accusation and this rumor. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was very extremely grieved. She came home and she was so saddened, she did not know what to do. She now understood why Rasulullah's attitude had changed towards her. And she took leave and she took permission, said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to go and live with my parents. She came to the home of her mother, she made mashwara with her mother, she consulted with her mother. Her mother tried to console her, and she said, every single night I cried myself to death. It was a very, very, very difficult moment for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara. 50 days passed and no revelation. No revelation. But Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I was confident that Allah will exonerate me. Allah ta'ala will declare my innocence. I was absolutely confident about that because I knew I was innocent. But this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how the Muslims deal with this information. And there are great lessons in this episode and in this event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 ayat, almost 2 rukus, exonerating the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and teaching the believers how to deal with information, how to deal with an accusation, how to deal with this type of an episode when the Muslim ummah and when a community is faced with this type of accusation. And today also you find such accusations made about prominent people and about people we never expect such accusations to be made about them and regarding them. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with that information? So 30 days passed. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, and by then I lost all my weight and I was depressed and I was really sad and I was so ill and sick, but I chose to remain in the home of my parents. She says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to visit me on one occasion. And there was a discussion that took place between Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, then all of a sudden, I realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had had gone into the trance, a certain trance that he would experience when revelation would come down onto him, and had realized that something is being revealed to him in this moment. And the moment, she said that once he was back to his normal self, he told me, "Oh Aisha, glad tidings, good news to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed ayat exonerating you and declaring your innocence." And these are the ayat that we will study in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the exoneration of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, declaring her innocence regarding the slander that was made against her.